Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 19th, 2024. And today we're reading from the big book. We're in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 33, the second paragraph, starting with young people may be encouraged and ending with had been drinking 20 years. And today's readers, for the 12 steps, Paul P., for the 12 traditions, Tenzin P., reading the text is Anne-Marie M., page 164 is Nancy R., backup reader is Susan S.H., newcomer greeters Benita L., and the second hour host is Jeannie B. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, July 18th, 2024, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,584. 21584 and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting 21585 21585. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And a vision for you big book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Paul P. to read the 12 steps for us today.
Paul P. Compulsive.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
All right. Paul P. From Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. And Russ, thank you for your service. And this is the 12 steps that we suggest as a program of recovery. One, we admit we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends for. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to overeaters and practice these principles in all our prayers. And thank you for having me do service.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery, described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back in More About Alcoholism, page 33, the second paragraph, starting with the young people may be encouraged, ending with who had been drinking for 20 years. And I've asked Anne-Marie M. to start us off with the reading.
Good morning. Good morning. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop, as he did, on their own willpower. We doubt if many of them can do it, because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already acquired, will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. Good morning, this is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I have that peculiar mental twist. That's what, you know, jumped out at me right away. And I sometimes think of it as amnesia. I just don't remember. And that word peculiar is strange. It means strange, unusual. And who knows why I have it, and it doesn't matter why I have it, but I do have it. I have tried many times to stop on my own. And actually, I had been successful for short periods of time, but those periods became shorter and shorter with each diet, with each attempt. Never was I able to stay stopped until I really turned my life over to God, that I surrendered my will, and that I gave myself fully to God, and started, working the steps, and, helping other people, giving of myself. And the other thing that pointed out to me was, that last sentence, several of our crowd, men of 30, had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if we're black, white, it doesn't matter our religion, and it doesn't matter our age. For me, I was born with this disease. I think some of us have acquired it over, years of compulsively eating, or, stepped over the line, as it's said somewhere in the big book. But for me, I had this disease, and once the physical addiction is I don't want to say prompted, but once I put that food, whatever food that I am, quote, allergic to, or unquote, some people don't like that word, but I just think that makes sense for me to think of it as an allergic reaction. And what happens when I put some substances, some ingredients in my body, the allergic reaction comes on quickly. And what happens is I crave more. And that's my allergic reaction. I just want more and more. And doesn't matter how old anyone is. If we have this peculiar mental twist where I can't, and that's the physical part, but the peculiar mental twist is the obsession of the mind. And I found that only God could take that away from me. Only doing the steps through prayer, through meditation, and surrendering my will to God is what helped me with that mental twist, and continues to, I need to have a continued relationship with God. Thank you so much, Russ.
Thanks, Anne Marie. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon, and we ask that if you have shared on the past couple of days, we ask that you step back and let others to share. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please allow others to get a shot at sharing. Who would like to share on this?
Charlotte T.
Matt. Tim A.
Charlotte T.
S-H.
Tim A. Tim A. Who else?
Susan S.H.
Susan.
Nicole S.
Nicole.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin. Who else? Well, we got five, so we'll go Charlotte T, Kim A, Susan S.H., Nicole S., and Robin P.
Laura
Hi, Charlotte.
L.
And Laura L.
Pedro B.
Pedro. Anybody else? All right, Charlotte T, Kim A, Susan S.H., Nicole S., Robin P., Laura L., and Pedro B. Charlotte, you are up.
Good morning. Charlotte T. from Nashville, Tennessee. The last few days, I've had the urge to share just because of the subject matter about stopping for a while and thinking we've got it, being able to have the power to stop. I've dealt with this disease. I know I had it when I was little, but it really started to be a problem probably around high school. And when I would, all through my life, there have been times when I was able to stop. As I got older, you know, stop for a period of times that made me feel like, oh, you're okay, and exercise like a crazy person and maintain a slim body. And then at a certain point, I could not. Those times, as they say in the book, got smaller and smaller and fewer and fewer. And I'm now, you know, just turned 67. And now, in the times that I have relapsed in my 60s, the binges are so much bigger. And, you know, what used to be 2 pints of something is now a gallon and a pint and a cake, you know, I mean, whatever it is. It's like, and the excitement about binging is unbelievable. I mean, the moment the switch is flipped, I am already so excited and almost satiated just by driving the car to the grocery store and getting the food. And then while I'm in the grocery store, there's a complete panic because my mind is saying, yeah, you're not going to do this tomorrow, though. So there's a panic about what I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to eat, what's it going to, you know, do I have the time to do this? You know, will I be able to go to sleep? Will I be able to get up in the morning? But the whole process is so off the charts crazy. And it is absolutely true in my case that, you know, when I let that 800-pound gorilla out of the cage, he wants more than, my disease wants more than it's ever wanted and cannot be satiated. So I just am so grateful to say that out loud. I haven't said that out loud in a really long time, and it's just good for me to tell my truth to myself and to my fellows. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlotte. Next up is Kim A, followed by Susan S.H.
Hey, good morning. This is Kim A from New York City. So that mental twist that we have is exactly why, for me, following a food plan was not the answer to anything. Because I used to try to, you know, quote unquote, do the right thing, have my food plan, avoid certain foods and ingredients, weigh and measure, commit my food. And I would do all that, but then I would still have this mental twist where I'm completely forgetting how humiliating and demoralizing that last bout of compulsive eating was, whether it was yesterday, last month, last year, whatever. And that's the unmanageability in step one that they're talking about. Yes, of course, I'm powerless over what happens after I take that first compulsive bite. But my problem, and I got that really fast, but my problem was that I had a mind that always led me back. I could not manage the decision to not take that first bite, even though I knew what was going to happen after that, right? The only thing that helped me was working the steps. For me, trying to follow a food plan when food wasn't the problem, that was like, you know, having like gastrointestinal issues and going to a podiatrist and being like, hi, I need help. And the doctor telling me, like, you're in the wrong place, but I keep going back for help. What led me to food what had nothing to do with what I was eating or not eating. It had to do with my thinking. The Big Book makes that really clear, that we have to follow, we have to work the steps to get down to those causes and conditions. Because when I'm putting down food, I'm quote-unquote getting abstinent, stopping eating, I'm putting down the one thing that made me feel better. So if I'm not getting down to those causes and conditions and learning how to develop a relationship with a higher power to turn that stuff over and then living in 10, 11, and 12 every single day, if I'm not doing that, then, of course, all of that stuff is going to build back up.
because I go back to using food. Well, I don't have a solution for life, right? Food was my solution. I put it down. Now I don't have a solution. So eventually my mind is going to lead me back because my mind knows that there's only one thing that's going to make, like, settle my mind, right? So, all those years that I was desperately trying to follow a food plan and not able to and feeling like a failure, the problem wasn't me. The problem was that it wasn't working for me. I'm a chronic compulsive eater. No human aid solution is going to work, and that included a food plan for me. So for anybody who's like me and not able to do that, it's not because you're a failure. It's because you're a chronic compulsive eater, and there are other ways of going about this. And every time I hear somebody say, don't pick up no matter what, I want to bash the freaking phone into the wall. Because if I was able to do that, guess what? I wouldn't be here. Okay, I'll wrap up. Thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Thanks, Kim. Next up is Susan S. H., followed by Nicole S.
Yeah, this is Susan S. H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, grateful, in St. Mary's, Ohio. Young people, yeah. What really struck me is that when I was young, in my 20s, I went to one OA meeting because I already had a problem that was overwhelming. I had grown up with a problem that was overwhelming. And I went to the meeting, and I heard no flour, no sugar, and I heard a lot of happy, happy voices, and I just felt like, well, no, that's not for me. That's too extreme. Too extreme. And so I had to experiment and do a lot of suffering to become a 50-some-year-old who was broken and teachable. It took what it took, and it was the higher power's time, not mine. What happened is today, through abstinence and working the steps, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I have an appreciation for the things that, yeah. Anyway, I was definitely of that doubt if many of them can do it because they won't really want to stop. I didn't want to stop. I wanted to be thin. I wanted to be okay, but I didn't want to stop. I took many years more of eating, experimenting, getting worse, getting up to 285 pounds, and back down here and there. For I had to throw up my hands and say, I can't do it. So I'm grateful that it finally came to me. I needed help of a higher power and of this fellowship. So I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very grateful to have gone through what I did because it brought me here. Grateful, and I pass.
Thanks, Susan. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Robin P.
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service today. And I was this young person. When I came into program, I never had this illness as a kid. It developed more as a later teenager. And I did find in a very short time that I was just full in the throes of this illness. Bulimia is part of my story, and just could not, it just completely out of control in a very short time. And I went to my first OA meeting when I was 28 years old, and didn't get recovered till I was 30, 35, so quite a few years in program of not hearing the message, and I never got recovered. And it's interesting, it's all about that mental twist. If, you know, looking back, I had that queer mental twist and that peculiar mental twist, and that's what kept me going back to the food. And it's only through these steps that I can address that mental twist and working these steps every single day. And also remembering, as we've learned from earlier in the week, that this this is an illness that's never going to go away. It's going to progress, and I have to keep working this program every day, and I can't rest on my laurels because I do have that peculiar mental twist. And I sometimes thought back and thought, well, when I was, I could see back in my, when I was a young adult, how this disease was really progressing. I thought, what if I could have just stopped it then? And then I realized from here, this paragraph there, I didn't want to stop then. There's no way I could have, because I didn't want to. I wanted to be thin and eat whatever I wanted. And but thank God that there's a solution, and that God has given me recovery through this program and through the steps. So I'm very grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole. Next up is Robin P., followed by Laura L.
Thanks. Thanks so much for the rest of your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. I don't know if you guys can hear them, but the howler monkeys are very close and very loud, so I feel like I'm competing here. But it's funny. Oh, my goodness. I had so many low bottoms where I thought, okay, that's it. Okay, that's it. Oh, that must be it. Oh, that's got to be it. And then the next day I would wake up and try something else and something else. And okay, and this time. And this, it's literally that definition of the strange mental twist. I have family members who went through the same abuse I went through or similar and didn't do the things I did with food. It's definitely a strange mental twist, and I'm so grateful to be recovered today. And these past 8.5 years just are a miracle from God. You know, I was thinking, literally, I was thinking how I was in hell and just wanting to die and praying to die. And, you know, I don't have days like that. I'm in that fourth dimension. I am so grateful to be alive and to be able to be a blessing and bless and see every day in my gratitude list, you know, where God used me, where I showed up and was a blessing, where I could help them, or where someone helped me, which is a blessing to them. You know, I made an outreach call yesterday that was magical, a 10-step, and just I felt God's love on the other end of the phone, and I just like how this works. I was in so much isolation with that strange mental twist, so alone with the food, which was my God, and which did not work as a God. And now God is my God. And, I'm looking out at the ocean. I have the mountains behind me. You know, I was literally alone in a small apartment in New York City and in just so much hell. It's just astonishing that mental twist, because people have so much to live for. And then I see sometimes people, God forbid, you know, so sadly, they go back. And it's just working my program, staying in 10, 11, and 12, being of service, reaching up and reaching out, and letting myself be one of the miracles among us, one day at a time. I'm so eternally grateful to this program, to Vision. You just literally saved my life and blessed me. So I pray that everyone has a really blessed, abstinent day and weekend, and thanks for your service, Russ, and I pass.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. Next up is Laura L., followed by Pedro B.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut. Very, very grateful to be on the line this morning and for a great week of shares on these pages and paragraphs. I came into program. I went to my first meeting when I was 23. I'm now 64. And I didn't go back until I was 41. So because I saw somebody I knew at that meeting that I would see through my work, and that was it. There was no way. I was so full with shame. I was never going to go back. So anyway, what happened in those interim years was that for a while I was thinner, and I thought I had this disease beat. I didn't know it was a disease then, but I knew something was really wrong with me, that I couldn't stop eating in my disease, I was a grazer then, and it progressed into binging, and then binging and purging, and the purging was exercise bulimia, then throwing up, then spitting out, then throwing out and spitting out, and just sinking into, somebody just recently mentioned about the many bottoms they hit. I kept hitting bottoms. But in particular, around this paragraph about being young and thinking that, you know, I could do what the man of 30 did, I was thin in my 30s for maybe 6 years, which was an accident. I wasn't even trying. And so that's why I thought I was all better, because I think that's when I came out regarding my sexuality, and somehow things sort of fell together for me, and I felt better about myself for a while, and I lost weight without even trying. But I was still spending nights with Ben and Jerry, the guys who ran this great ice cream business. And but somehow my metabolism had changed because of the weight loss, and so I wasn't gaining weight, so I thought I was golden. But I was still, you know, doing these little binges on Ben and Jerry's every night. So, and then it caught up to me, and I started gaining weight, and I started, one of my biggest fears in my life besides dying is gaining weight. And I went into a really horrible depression, and I'd always been depressed, and I'd always hated myself for these reasons and others, but it got much worse. And then the trajectory started in terms of the progression of the disease. And when I came back into the rooms at age 41, I still didn't get it. I didn't have faith. And it was a diet program for me, because that's all I knew how to do. And I just dieted for the next few years and went to meetings. And it wasn't until basically a more of a relapse type of period after 5 years that scared me so much. Thank God. But I started working really hard in the program. I had a lot of recovery in the area that in Connecticut that I was in. Thank you. And I'll close with just saying, because of vision in the last 3 years, I'm recovered. And I just thank you all so much every day for saving my life and God. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Next up is Pedro B. And then we'll take another list. All right, Pedro, you're up, buddy.
Yeah, can I be heard? Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro. I am a compulsive overeater. I live in San Bernardino, California, and I am trying to stay stopped today. I'm happy to be abstinent at the moment. And, you know, if I consider the plan for the day, that's my plan, to stay stopped, because that's my problem. You know, my problem is, as an overeater, that I can't stay stopped. You know, and I have proven that to myself over and over. And I'm so happy to know that this morning now, you know. And, you know, the one sentence that jumped out at me at first is that where it says, on their own willpower, right? On their own willpower. That's my problem. My will. That I want to, so the problem is that I can't stay stopped. For me, this is my problem. I can stop for a minute, but I can't stay stopped. So, and the reason why is because I'm trying to do it myself, and I have heard it so many times that you need to surrender. And I surrender, today I'm grateful that I understand what surrender is for me. Surrender for me is that I have to surrender my way. I have to surrender my will. I have to face the fact that I do not have the power to stay stopped. I need help from this power greater than myself. And really, that's simple for me. You know, the mental twist, you know, somewhere in this book, it also talks about the inability to stop. My inability to stay stopped, right? I have not been able to do it. I need God's help. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Pedro. Appreciate it. All right. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing again. Let me let you know where we're at. We are more about alcoholism, page 33, the second paragraph, reading young people may be encouraged, ending with who have been drinking for 20 years. And if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please come on up.
Tenton P.
I'm going to Maria from
Tenton P.
Leah. I got Tenton P. Leah. Pete.
Maria.
I got Pete. Who else?
Sandra Maria.
Did you get me, Sima M?
Sima. And then there's a Maria. I think it's
Sandra Maria.
Yes.
Sandra Maria.
Bruna D.
Okay. I got you, Pete. I got you. Thank you. Yep. There was someone else. Someone else.
Bruna D.
Okay, Sarit. And I think that's it. There's someone else, but I didn't get your name. D.
Bruna D.
Bruna, okay. We're going to leave it like that. We might not have time for the last two, but we'll see what happens. So we got Tenzin P, Leia S, PP, Sima M, Sandra Marie. I'll get you your initial when you jump on. Cerrito and Bruna D. All right, Tenzin, you're up.
You ready for me?
Yep, I'm ready for you.
Okay. Oh, good morning again, everyone. Okay, what a powerful lesson. That's what I called it in the last paragraph about this man of 30, then who is 55 with his carpet slippers and the bottle. So powerful lesson is a caveat is another word for that. In the dictionary, a caveat means let a person beware. So important lesson. But another powerful lesson in this story that really screams out to me personally is ambition. It's also a big issue. So it's said above in the first paragraph of this story, until he had been successful in business and retired, he would not touch another drop. So this ambition, putting achievement in life or anything in life ahead of the practical spirituality of our steps and recovery. So this a big issue for me all the way through. So whether I'm at the beginning of my recovery or in the middle or a long timer in this program, that's always going to be something to be aware of. And there's nothing wrong with having ambition in the sense of healthy aspirations and goals, but to separate this from the practical spirituality of our 12 steps in recovery will not give me what I really want in life. And that's all I have. Thank you very much. Love you all. Bye.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Leia Asphalt by Pepe.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leia S. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting today. This paragraph and all these paragraphs, they're talking about Fred, they're talking about people. These people were, they had money. They had what is called the luxurious kind of life. But what I didn't have was being able to stay in a relationship or even communicate in my relationship. And yeah, losing the weight was easy for me. Keeping it off was another story. And why didn't I keep it off? Because I didn't understand what steps 4 through step 10 mean. They really mean to integrate in my personal life. And that's why I am so grateful and so amazed that they were able to really penetrate. What was it about me that I could change myself? And truthfully, deep down, I always wanted to change certain things and be that nice guy or not even the nice guy, but the correct guy. And it's just amazing how these steps really, really change me and continue to change me and have an effect on me. And as far as the manifestation of this disease, that's all about in the very first chapter in the doctor's opinion. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Leah. Next up is Pete B, followed by Sima M.
Thanks, Russ. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm just getting over COVID, so my thoughts are a little scattered, but I'm so grateful for recovered compulsive overeaters that were here when I got here, that helped me understand the nature of my illness and helped me put it into the same context that alcoholics put alcoholism. Right? Like I had, I'm also really grateful for my elementary school reading teachers that helped me understand that I know it's not okay to change up the words in something that I'm reading, and it's not okay to create alternate definition of words that are in the things that I'm reading. It's not okay to add punctuation because it emphasizes some kind of narrative that a group has adopted, right? And then it helped me understand that, I'm free to figure out what things say, and I'm free to figure out what words mean, and I'm free to use them where it's appropriate to use them, right? And my favorite line in the big book is on page 30 in the second paragraph, where it says, "The delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed." And that is relative to our fellowship as well, because, in Overeaters Anonymous, it's different than AA and NA. And, we have people in here that have substance use disorders, and we have people that have behavior disorders. And they're different things. You wouldn't go into AA and somebody would say, I'm a gambler and it's okay for me to drink, but it's not okay for me to gamble. And you wouldn't have somebody go into AA, go into NA and say, well, it's okay for me to gamble, but it's not okay for me to drink. Yet we have people in this fellowship that have process addictions as well as substance use addiction. So we have to keep in mind that the delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. See, I have to understand for me what I am. I have to understand for me what I have to do to remain entirely abstinent. See, I have to remember that a plan of eating is not recovery. A plan of eating is a tool of recovery. It's not what gets me recovered. What gets me recovered is following these 12 steps, which are spiritual in nature, which if practiced as a way of life, will enable me to become happily and usefully whole. There are other parts of that, but I left it out. Like I said, my thinking is scattered, right? So I can't, here's another one we like to do. We like to come up with these pet concepts and theories and hypotheses. Because the delusion that we are like other people has got to be smashed. We don't have to subscribe to this idea that we're just another bozo on the bus and, just join us and do what we do and say what we say and practice what we practice. We have to come up with what works for us. And following these 12 steps and entire abstinence is a process of having a spiritual experience, and that spiritual experience is what arrests the condition and enable us to the path we usually hold. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Next up is Sima M, followed by Sandra Marie.
Good morning. This is Sima M from New Jersey. I haven't been on the line in many months, but I have on my calendar today that it's Vision for You birthday. I don't know if that's right or not, but if it is, then it's 12 years, because I think I came in a year later in 2013. So it's 11 years for me. And I first came into OA in 1975, and I was 24 years old, and now I'm 72 years old. My trajectory was long and arduous. I had a lot of grave emotional and mental disorders, as they talk about on the How It Works first paragraph. But I always believed in the steps. I just gave up on my being able to sustain abstinence for any length of time when I left OA. And I came back in 2013. Shortly after that, I heard about A Vision for You. And then I called in. I was mesmerized. And I was addicted. And I heard what I needed to hear that I hadn't heard in 40 years. And I'm so grateful to A Vision for You. I'm so grateful for these 12 steps. I'm grateful for the big book and the simplicity with which it is laid out. I just couldn't have done it without A Vision for You. And the message, keep hearing the message and how to work the steps and over again until it becomes a part of me in my everyday life. And I live in 10, 11, and 12, and I'm grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater, because I never would have found this way of life, which is everything to me. And that's it. I'm just going to share that. And happy anniversary, Vision for You. And happy anniversary to me for coming back and for living in recovery one day at a time for 11 years. I'll pass.
Thanks, Simma. I think it was yesterday. I think someone said that yesterday, but happy anniversary, Vision for You, right? All right, next up is Sandra Marie, and I just need the first initial of your last name followed by Sarit L.
Hi there. My name is Sandra Maria B, and yeah. I'm a compulsive eater living in Sweden, and I feel so extremely grateful when I hear all your shares, and I also feel very grateful because I came to OA 20 years ago, like in my 20s when I was 20 years, and it took me 1 year to come back. And when I hear others share, I just feel like, thank you God, because I was really like dying mentally and physically and spiritually. I had no faith in anything. Through this program of grace, I found a God, and I had long-term recovery, but unfortunately, things happened in life, and I left the program on and off, and the disease really came back strongly, as it says. And I can relate so much to that, and coming back as like a survivor, like overcomer of several relapses on and off, it's been harder and harder each time. But I'm here today, I'm abstinent today, only by God's grace. And I have tried so many methods of healing during the years, also after finding the program. Because I found it so early, I guess I needed to explore more. But nothing has given me these simple instructions and helped me so much as these simple guidelines. And one thing I thought about today was the mental twist about, you know, acting like crazy when it comes to food. But the mental twist, it also includes for me acting crazy in all areas of life, and that's insanity. That has really scared me, and that's what brings me back, because I don't want to stay in that insanity. And I felt very much hope when you guys shared about, you know, the mental twist, that it has been it's you live in insanity today, and I've been there, so I know I will come there if I keep on doing what I'm doing only for today. But it's only through God's help, as you say. And yeah, I will leave it like that, but I appreciate you guys very, very much, and I would need encouragement and support, and I'm open for outreach on WhatsApp. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Sandra Marie B. from Sweden. Thanks a lot. Next up is Sarita L, followed by Brona D. I think we're going to get everybody.
Hi, it's Sarita L. I'm from Montreal, Canada, and I kind of a little bit was hoping that there wouldn't be time for me, but I don't know why I always get nervous sharing on these lines. It's just, this is my family. Happy to be here, but I still get nervous, and what do I want to share? So willpower is like an entire life. I think it's just a sentence. These two words are huge, and it encompasses my life that just kept on pushing me into this corner because I thought I could do it. I could do life in every other respect. And yet every Saturday night I was on the floor crying and having had, you know, binge an entire weekend and wondering how I can get up again and looking for help and writing in my diary, like, you know, I'm my own worst enemy, and I knew it. I knew it because I kept writing tomorrow was going to be the day. It was going to be it. And by 9:30 a.m., I could not get a hold of myself. I had eaten breakfast, lunch, and supper by 9:30 a.m., and I just couldn't relate to anybody. Nobody does such a thing, and I was just 17 years old. It was like living in this you know, miserable world and thinking you're just alone in all of that. And thank God for the help, and thank God that I'm here, and I'm 36 years old, and I've got 5 kids and a spouse and a job. And what can I say other than, like, you know, God has given me a gift because my willpower broke. You know, the willpower that I thought I had to live life broke, and not just with the food, you know, in every other area too. And, you know, my husband remembers when I was dating him, we were chatting this week, he remembers when I was super controlling and pushed my way into different things. And I thanked him this week for still, you know, still believing in me. And I'm like, I hope it's not the same, because I'm aware today where my control, my need to control, my need to have my way, where my willpower takes me. And I'm ready to look at that. That's the beauty. I'm ready to look at where my way with my 12-year-old daughter is not working, and how, you know, giving in doesn't help her, but rather like being there, showing up as a confident mother and doing what's the right thing for me, you know, letting her know I'm not wishy-washy. This is like, I'm getting parenting help in these rooms because my willpower is broken. And I'm getting, you know, help with my marriage in these rooms because and neighbor help, like I called my sponsor this week and we were just chatting about how surrender means, you know, not just giving up, but giving over, like giving over to God my way of life, because when my neighbor calls me for help again and again and again, it's just God's way of knocking at my door and saying, sweetie, I need you again today. I need you again today. I need you again. Can I give over my will to God's will today? Even if it requires me to extend myself in supernatural ways that I think, you know, my willpower can't do, and it can't because it's limited. But with God's help, I can do all of this, and it's only because I'm in these rooms. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarit. Next up is Brona D, but we only have 2 minutes. Can you do 2 minutes, Brona?
I can, of course. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Brona D, recovered and grateful, compulsive overeater from Northern Ireland. And yeah, the peculiar mental twist for me came in the form, of course, in regards to the food, but also in regards to my thinking, you know, that stubbornness, independence, I'll figure it out, I know. And I just thought I knew so much, and I thought, you know, just give me the book, I'll figure it out, I'll work my way out of this. And you know, that's what I had to learn. I had to learn that this is a wee program. I had to learn to become teachable, and I didn't even know what that meant. You know, I just heard myself so many times saying in my second sponsor, I know, like I knew what I needed to be doing at that stage, and I couldn't do it. It was the powerlessness. And, you know, ultimately, it's the power, handing my will and my life over. You know, that surrender that I don't know. I don't know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, but higher power, God of my understanding, can you show me? Show me what's the next right thing. And, you know, I can go to the other extreme of being lazy and saying, oh, well, if I just do what you do, you know, then I'll be okay, then I'll get recovery. But that's not how it works either. I need to you know, sit still and sit quietly for that voice of my higher power to hear and to see what is feels like the flimsy reed, but after time becomes the loving and powerful hand of a God of my understanding. And that's amazing. So, you know, the gift today is that I get to learn from a whole lot of a room full of people. I have so much to learn. I don't know it all. You know, I know that God can, and that's enough. So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your service, Russ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brona. Appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your audacious share. We thank everyone who shared on this meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour immediately following the closing. And then today's share ID. So Friday, July 19th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,587-21587. And now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Nancy R. is going to read Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Nancy. This is Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, I just want to let you know what the share ID is. Again, it got cut out. It's 21,587, 21587.